episode 148, Red Leaf Retro Cast. I'm JD, Joey, Colin, your theme pick, and you know what? We're going to do a proper intro today, guys. If you're joining and listening for the first time, the way this works is the hosts are on a rotation. We each pick a theme, and we pick two games based on those themes. There we go. Little banter before, and then we talk about the two games we picked. We used to do a lot more in the past, but this was much more manageable. And I like this format we've been doing for years now.
Indeed.
So, Colin, what was your theme and why?
It was indie inspiration. Games that provided inspiration for either game mechanics or even story for more modern games. One you may not recognize, the other you'll definitely recognize.
Yeah, very excited. I am a big fan of both these games that were chosen today. Very much, I think we're on a little bit of a roll the last few months with some of the games we've been picking. I would say post-August.
Yeah. Yeah, we had our fill of bad from... one of my themes.
Yeah, that was bad. Joey was so distraught with that episode, he just didn't show up. Did you have any thoughts over Sonic 06 and Devil May Cry 2, Joey?
No.
No, nothing.
He just blocked them from his memory.
Yeah, why would I ever think about those games again?
Well, to answer questions like this.
No, I'm not here to relive old trauma.
Ah, but you could. But you could.
Okay. Do you not think it would be therapeutic?
Well, it's always therapeutic playing bad games from the past. Why would it not be? Okay. So, Thanksgiving is upon us in America, and there's a lot of sales ongoing. Anything strike your eyes or something you want to get, video game-wise, that's out there? I know I got my eye on one game.
I literally have not had time to look at any of that these past couple weeks, because the yard waste season has kicked into full gear, and thus... taking on shifts on Saturdays and Mondays to keep up with it all.
Hey, I contribute to that where I live.
Yeah. And on top of that, those shifts during the week have gotten extremely long. Like 14 hours every single day. That's not an exaggeration.
Yeah, I was putting in 11-hour shifts myself the last couple weeks. Very healthy to do after you come after a very bad illness.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just... I'll probably be taking a little time to look at Black Friday sales once this is over.
Well, you better hurry up, because it ends this week. But then there's Christmas sales. Yay.
Well, Cyber Monday sales.
Yeah, you get all that going on.
Cool. How
about yourself, Joey?
No, I haven't looked at any games.
Nothing?
Today. No.
Ah, guys are worthless. All right, I'll save the day here. Because I at least prepped for this very professional podcast that we do.
Well, maybe if you told us the topics beforehand, we could know.
What do you mean topics? It's very topical with the time of day. So yeah. Target in particular has a lot of good sales going on.
Maybe I would have looked at games if I knew we were going to discuss this.
Well, you can look forward to getting such games as Sonic Superstars for $35 at Target.
I don't think I'll look forward to that at all.
But you could. And then there's also Kirby's Return to Dreamland Deluxe, $30. Assassin's Creed Mirage is already like $20 in places. That game did not do well.
When did that come out? Is that this year?
It came out in like, I think it was the end of August or something. Yeah. But the point I wanted to bring up is there's some store somewhere right now that are selling games at least 20% off, and that includes even brand new games like Mario RPG, which I was able to snag for $40 via a Gamefly just pre-order deal with a Black Friday coupon. And I think Walmart is also doing the same deal, so they're out there, is what I'm saying. I wanted to get that out there for fans and fans alike. So there you go. Even Final Fantasy 16 is already $20 off at Target. So Target's like the best place I've seen so far.
It's like Target is selling Miles Morales for $20.
Exactly. There's a lot of just good deals going on
for $40. But the new game's not on sale.
Well, no, that's selling very well. Okay. What have you been playing? Anything at all, Colin?
Just the Messenger. And the only reason I've had time for that is when I'm on the toilet. I mean, I can play it on my Switch, so it's handy that way.
So but, have you embarked on a strategy of eating nothing but, like, heavy meat and grain so you're pooping for 30 minutes at a time?
As if I have that kind of cash or time to cook.
What do you mean? You could get, like, muesli and stuff, and that'll plug you up right, and you're just like, oh, man, sorry, boss. 30 minutes toilet session. It's coming.
We don't have access to proper toilets most of the time when I'm on the job.
What do you mean? You got a whole garbage can. That's a moving toilet.
I was going to say, you have multiple toilets. They're everywhere.
I'll be fucked if I'm going to take a shit in my truck.
I mean, do you want to be fucked? Maybe?
No, I want to do the fucking.
Hmm. Okay. Well, all right then. Joey, what about you?
I've been playing City Skylines 2. Slowly understanding that game. And then still playing Remnant 2. Trying to level up classes to try to get a good combination with my friends to finally beat that asshole boss.
Beat that asshole boss. Okay. So, is that still the same one with the red everywhere?
Yeah.
From last episode? Still haven't beat him, huh?
Not with the group. I mean, I beat him on the easiest level. That's about it. So we're trying to figure out maybe if we build the right classes together, maybe we have the right synergy to try to beat it.
Ah, I see. Okay. Well, besides the one game in particular for the podcast, which I ended up dedicating a few hours to, I got Mario RPG Remake this past Friday.
Nice.
Got a day of release, and, you know, we covered that game back in 2020, part of the pandemic deal, and I think it just started, actually. And now with the remake out, it just further reminded me how good the game was and is, and the pacing of it, I don't think I talked about. Maybe that has more to do with the remake version, where a lot of the slowness and kind of smoothest of the game is upgraded tremendously with the remake. I love the new map system. Basically, any limitations that they had to struggle with through the original back in the SNES days has been very much upgraded and rectified in the remake version. It's a very enjoyable experience. And, you know, when the original... How much is the original game going for? Because I had to get the Japanese copy in order to even play the game physically. So, Mario RPG. Let's see how much this fucker's now going for. It is... The Super Nintendo version is... $100 to get Mario RPG, and that's on the lower end. Let's see if it's actually what's the trending line. Yeah, it's over $100. Like loose, it's that's a lot of money for a SNES game.
Yep. And it's far from the only one.
Yeah, and if you want Earthbound, a complete copy, it's Chrono like Trigger. Yeah, well, Chrono Trigger, I think, is... God, I think that game went up, like, even worse. Let's see. Chrono Trigger. Let's see. Chrono Trigger is... Yeah, that's $200.
God yep, damn.
Still.
Yeah, it's like, can you put up with load times for $200? I sure can. Get the PlayStation version.
I'd rather get the DS version, which I already have.
I mean, that's $65.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's, no load times.
Well. Yeah, the PlayStation version was because that was together with a game. I think it was a Final Fantasy game. Can't remember, but I have that version. That's what I have. Anyways, so back to Mario RPG. Very addicted to the remake. Basically been picking that up all weekend long, and I think I already have 5 of the 7 stars. So
nice.
And I'm like 7-8 hours into the game. Yeah, it's a lot quicker, put it that way. So much nice. It's streamlined, and I vastly enjoy it. So high recommendation from me there. And then this was something I wanted to just bring up for this episode, is since we're nearing the end and the Game Awards were announced for all the categories with Tears of the Kingdom, Baldur's Gate 3, etc., etc., being nominated for Game of the Year, it got me to really make a list, and I have it in Games Covered on the Google Sheet. If you scroll to the right, okay, you can see the list. I've seen a lot of talk that this year in gaming hasn't been very good, and no big heavy hitters, and I just could not disagree more with that statement, because I just went on Metacritic for just what journalists and reviewers have been giving games this year, and I didn't put any remakes or anything on the list. These are all kind of brand new games released. And there's 23 games rated 85 or higher. And to me, that's like, if you like the genre, then it's must-buy territory.
Yeah, there's a lot of good games on the list, but I'm still surprised Diablo 4 is that high.
Oh, at a 91?
Yeah.
You don't think it was that good?
I don't think it's better than Spider-Man 2 or Dave the Diver.
Dave the Diver being like a top 10 game of the year is fantastic.
Honestly, that probably is my game of the year.
Dave the Diver?
Yeah, it's just amazing. They did they added more content a couple weeks ago, so they even updated it.
Yeah, and then Bold is the games that I bought essentially on release day. And, you know, that's 6 games, 6 titles that I've bought on day one, which I haven't bought that many, nowhere near that many day one games in years. So extremely strong year. Even the games that were like heavily anticipated, like Starfield, got an 86, and that's way low on the list comparatively. And that's still a very good score.
Hogwarts Legacy came out this year.
It did, right? It's like, oh wait, I forgot about that.
Last year. I pre-ordered 2 of these games. So.
What were they?
Diablo 4, Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
I completely forgot Alan Wake 2 came out last month. I gotta buy that today. And I'm still waiting for Sea of Stars to have a physical release, which apparently it will in January.
Yeah, I might just... I think I'm just going to wait for the physical release at this point. And, once I get through my 2023 log here that I've been doing, I'm going to concentrate on the 3 more indie titles at the start of next year, which would be Sea of Stars, Dave the Diver, and Pizza Tower. That's my focus. It's eventually going to get there. But I got to get in my head of, like... what do I really, really, really want to play for 2024 and go through with it and maybe have some different gaming goals in mind But yeah, like 2023, I think, has been a fantastic year for gaming. I think it's given us a lot of different genres and types of games to really sink your teeth into. And what's funny is when I was looking at the nominees for Game of the Year, I just couldn't help but think, I'm like, man, I don't know if Mario Wonder is that good. I have a very differing opinion on Tears of the Kingdom, even though I am very well aware of how well it's made. But I think games like Pikmin 4 and games like Dave the Diver that Joey has talked about have just been, and Sea of Stars have cleared a lot of the mainline games, at least in terms of like quality and engagement. Because even though I like Final Fantasy 16 as an example, I don't think it's like a Game of the Year like level nominee. I just don't think it's that good for a lot of the gameplay aspects. When if you look at the list for Baldur's Gate 3, which I think is going to run away with Game of the Year this year, that's my gut feeling on it. It was just too well made and too popular to kind of lose that. It's just a different level of game, right?
Yeah.
I think even Marvel Spider-Man 2 is just a different level of game for a lot of fans.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. Any further thoughts, guys?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I'm going to play a couple drops here. Because, Colin, you got me set up with one. I got to pull it back up. Then we can get to our games. Here we go. As it loads. I played two drops, Colin, in case you were wondering.
I was wondering. Why was it taking so long?
Well, it's got to load your Jazzy Jackrabbit thing, and then I had made quite a few new gaming drops that I was dying to play. So hopefully the tens of fans enjoyed that. for those that care. Okay. So as I hear my cat rustling around upstairs, and in this nice cold winter day, whoa. He just jumped up on the carpet table. I don't know if you could hear that on the mic. Carpet table, the carpet pole. Big bushy tail and everything. Okay, so... all right. Indie inspiration, Colin. Remind us and go through it, and then introduce the first game.
Mostly game mechanics, but I guess also could also potentially be in story, although for these particular games I'm not sure. But yeah, just thought it'd be fun to see how older games have influenced newer games, and how at least one of these is still talked about to this day because of how well it's been made. So thought it'd be fun to talk about both of these. I mean, I get ideas for menu topics. What the hell? For
menu topics.
Theme topics.
Men topics. Didn't we have a theme in the past where it was like manly man games or something?
Yeah, that was also mine. This is what happens when I get. I get sleep deprived.
It was just manly. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay, that's funny.
That was a fun episode. But yeah. Yeah, let's get started. First game is Rocket Knight Adventures for Sega Genesis. Developed and published by Konami, which was a surprise to me. I would have thought this was a Treasure game.
Treasure, Capcom, that was my initial guess. Because I couldn't remember who made Rocket Knight Adventures.
Yeah. It was released on Sega Genesis in Japan and North America on August 1993, and in the EU in September 1993. And I chose this one because at least one of its mechanics was used extensively in the game Freedom Planet. At least when you're playing as Lilac. Of course, I wouldn't have known that if not for some YouTube comments on one video I was watching that mentioned Rocket Knight Adventures by name. And that mechanic is when you charge up your attack and then point with the D-pad, and you'll go just like shoot in that direction, like bouncing off of walls and such, which is one of Lilac's abilities in Freedom Planet. Now, the plot is surprisingly complex for a game like this. Let me just get the Wikipedia entry up for it. It says, the first king of Zephyrus had led his clan to defeating an evil empire who had constructed a starship known as the Pig Star. Because, yeah, your enemies are pigs, just like Blinks. Which had the power to destroy planets. Knowing the Pig Star would be sought by the evil, the king had magically sealed the starship and protected the key to the seal by having it guarded and passed on by his royal family over the generations, and then forming an elite group of warriors known as the Rocket Knights to protect the kingdom. Around this time, an orphan named Sparkster was taken in by Mifune Sanjulo, a friend of the king and current leader of the Rocket Knights. And Sparkster was trained to become a Rocket Knight at an early age and would become the new leader after banishing Axel Gear from Zephyrus, who is apparently a corrupt Black Knight, for destroying Mifune. And then, I guess the evil empire has come back, trying to unseal that the Pig Star, and it's up to you to stop them. And along the way, Axel Gear kidnaps the princess, who knows the location to the key, of course. And many, many adventures and shenanigans ensue. That's really all you need to know.
Okay.
Now I find this one is a very fun game. It's a side-scrolling platformer where you're going side to side. Your main attack is swinging your sword that sends out like this projectile attack. It's like this, Guile's Sonic Boom attack, basically, from Street Fighter.
Yeah,
and then that's
very apt comparison, sure.
Yeah. And like I said earlier, you also have the ability to charge up your attack meter, and then once it's full, point in a certain direction and you'll shoot forward with your sword and just like plow through enemies or bounce off of walls to get up to hard to reach areas. And it's the game gets very creative with how it does things. Just like how to traverse the environments and all the different enemies you come across. And I didn't have time to play more than like half an hour to an hour of this game, but what I did play
like half the game.
Yeah,
the game is shockingly short. So I did beat this. I am very much in love with Rocket Knight Adventures. It's one of my favorite Genesis games that I own. And I died a few times, had it on normal difficulty, and then I just pumped it down to easy. I restarted, pumped it down to easy when I got into flow, because I just wanted to get through a lot of the stages and just have fun playing it. And you get more continues that way, which is nice. So there's only seven stages. Seven. I think there's seven. Eight, if you
I'm
count.
I'm just surprised the game from this time actually has like difficulty levels. Usually platforms like this, like, get good kid, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, one difficulty level, or in the terms of Mega Man, where it's like American difficulty and Japanese difficulty. This one at least had the third option, which was easy mode. It's not that different than normal. It really isn't. It just gives you a few more continues. That's it. It's the very hard, crazy Japan mode, where I don't think you get any continues. You just get 3 lives. I think that's how that works. I don't even bother with that. But when it comes to Rocket Knight, I think once you get the mechanics down, especially at least in my sense of gaming, I got into a flow of how the rocket pack worked, which is very important. And then switching between the spin attack and the rocket pack. So the rocket pack you can use to traverse an environment quickly or go through up and down level stages. And when you want to face certain enemies that give you a hard time, you can hold down the attack button and then you can move. So you spin in place, and that gives you like 2, 3, 4 attacks in one. Mastering that gets you to master the game, and then just basic platforming stuff where, of course, there's pits and spikes and stuff that'll kill you immediately. Avoid that.
Huh.
Boss battles are super great. It's I didn't know this, so when I was reading up on the game more, I mean, this is from the same people that made Contra. So I was like, oh, so that's... Hello, kitty cat. Jesus. Am I still here? Am I crackling?
Yeah, you're still here. You're okay. Good.
All right. Pay attention, because cat is going nuts right now. Yeah, the boss battles are very unique between each other. Very interesting. So, and that's one of my favorite things about the Contra franchise is the boss battles. And being just these big-ass enemies on the screen. There's a robotic element to the game as well. So you definitely see a lot of crossover. And I'm like, oh, okay, when I read that, I go, that makes total sense. And no wonder this is kind of up my alley. I have a lot of fondness for Rocket Knight Adventures. And man, it's just one of those games where I wish if I had a Genesis as a kid, this would have been kind of a childhood favorite. Like, without question.
Yeah, well, for sure. If I had the console, I probably would have gotten this game. This is the first I've ever heard of this game.
This is the first time? Oh, wow. Okay. Same. Wow. All right. This is exciting. All right. Well, then give me many opinions, Joey and Colin. Give me many more.
Well, I liked it. I mean, it felt like, even though it's at the era where everything's a platformer, this thing is unique with the rocket and the attack. So, and I will point out the background has more color than the other game. So that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, this was it very much looks like a Sega game, which I think is nice. It I wish there was direct sequels to this instead of just offshoots. That's called Sparkster. And if they could have just expanded upon a lot of the attacks and just kept a lot of this the same, especially with the use of the opossum's tail, where you can go through vines and stuff and hang from them. I thought that was just super fun and unique to only the character, because that's what an opossum does. That's the kind of stuff that makes me just smile and be like, yes, this is what I want out of a game. You got a little character, got a mascot here with potential, and it makes you feel like you're, well, playing the animal, right?
Yeah.
You guys have a favorite boss or level or anything?
Well, I did like how there's this one waterfall level where you can alternating your position either in front of the waterfall or behind it in order to progress. Like, and plus, like you said, JD, you're playing the animal, and in this level, you're like a lot of time hanging from vines by your tail.
Mm-hmm. I will say the rocket jump made the water level that was after that a whole lot better than normal water levels. At least I could shoot through it.
Yeah. I think My one complaint with the game is that it definitely needs a better checkpoint system. Because I think it's absolute bullshit how far from the boss slash mini-boss the game starts you back when you die. Needless to say, I save-stated the shit out of this one.
I didn't need save-state it because, well, I mean, I've played this a lot. Played this game a lot, so a lot of it's muscle memory at this point. But I have to reiterate, once you get the mechanics down, it plays so smooth, and that's how a game should be. You learn the mechanics, you get practice at it, and then you just get better as the game goes on. That's a natural progression of skill, and that's what makes this game made so well. And the fact that you can beat it in 2, 3, 4 hours, depending on your difficulty, but because there isn't an infinite continue system, that does lead to some save states coming.
Yeah,
and that's why you can't really play it for. I mean, if it takes you longer than I would say 3 hours to beat it, then obviously you've restarted the game, you know, a time or two.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I imagine I probably wouldn't have so much difficulty with it if I didn't have, if I wasn't so sleep deprived. I'm going to be saying that a lot this cast. But it's true. There's only one day a week I can get more than 5 hours of sleep at night.
How much is Sparkster on the Genesis? Let's see. I imagine it's more rare. Yeah, it's $100. That's why. The Super Nintendo is different. It's 162. Well, there you go. Because that is the direct sequel, but it feels more like... or is the Super Nintendo the spinoff? I don't remember. Let me see. What does the wiki say? Legacy... Yeah,
it says a SNES version was planned, but never released.
Sparkster Rocket Knight Adventures on Genesis. A spin-off game, Sparkster, was released in the same year on the Super Nintendo. Okay, so only the Super Nintendo version's the spin-off. That makes sense. Actually, it doesn't make sense. Why would you... Anyways, whatever. Okay. Lots of... maybe this is an early 90 things, but lots of just robotic parts making things stronger. You see a lot of that in the Sonic franchise. See it in Contra, see it in this game, where the stronger enemies have robot parts. Were we just robot happy in the early 90s?
I think so. I
think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting bombarded with messages this morning. If you can hear my phone going off, it's because AEW had a bad pay-per-view last night. Yeah. And people are letting me know that. Okay. So, Rocket Knight Adventures, huge pass from me. Love it.
Yep, easy pass.
Joey.
Yeah, I pass it.
All right, there we go. Leaving us in suspense. So, you can get Rocket Knight Adventures. I think it's actually pretty cheap. So, for those looking for the physical version on your, everyone has a Super Sega Genesis. It's under $30. You can get it for. I think that's very affordable for one of the more better games on the system.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
Okay. All right. The big one of the cast, pun totally intended.
From 1993 to almost.
Almost 2005.
A little over 10 years later.
Yeah. It is Shadow of the Colossus on PlayStation 2. Developed by Japan Studio and Team Ico, and published by Sony Computer Entertainment. Released on PlayStation 2 in North America on October 18th, 2005. In Japan on October 27th, 2005. In Australia on February 16th, 2006, and in the EU on February 17th, 2006. And I've beaten this one before on PS2, but for the cast, I played the HD PS4 version.
Ooh, so I only have the PS3 copy with the Ico dual situation going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That works, too.
That is because this game came out when I was living in Germany, and I had just no idea. I was completely out of the loop when the game came out. When I came back, a friend of mine had it, and we're playing. I'm like, when did this happen? Because I remember Ico when that came out, and I wasn't like all that interested in it. I was way more into action and sports games, and Ico kind of... I remember Ico in magazines, and then Shadow of the Colossus just totally passed me by. I had no clue. So then by the time I came back, the PS3 was about to come out, and then just never got it. And it became a cult hit like immediately, even though I don't think the original sold all that well. It was like limited release or something, memory serves. So essentially I had to wait because used copies just like didn't exist that I could find in Texas. So I ended up waiting until the re-release on PS3 happened, and that's how I played it. And I played it in Arkansas over a weekend visiting my brother at college during that time. And what an experience. And I boosted it up again for this podcast, got through the first five Colossi, and it still is just, it's an experience of a game.
Yeah. Yeah, I chose this one because its gameplay is a direct inspiration for the gameplay of Pray for the Gods, among others, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, game it seems I supported to be a pretty... on Patreon, yeah. Or not Patreon, crowdfunding.
Kickstarter?
Yeah, Kickstarter.
Yeah, it seems to be a pretty influential game overall, and it's still talked about to this day. Now, the plot is as follows. A man called Wander enters an ancient land that is home to an entity called Dorman in order to resurrect his lover, question mark?
Sure. Sister, lover, pick one. I don't know.
Yeah. All it says is she had a cursed fate and was going to be sure sacrificed. Yeah. And in order to do so, he must slay 16 colossi that are located across the land. So he takes his magical sword and his horse Aggro and sets off to kill some giants.
To this day, if I can name a horse in a game, particularly Zelda, I name them Aggro, and then I just give them numbers after it. fun thing, in Tears of the Kingdom, you actually can get your horses from Breath of the Wild. So when I opened up the stable in the game, there were five horses in there. Aggro... Aggro 4, aggro 8, and aggro like 9. And I'm like, oh, I've killed a lot of horses.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I had forgotten I did that. So then I immediately caught another horse, released one, and then named it like aggro 15 or whatever I had. I just named it after the ones. I was like, ah, aggro's back. Yay. And I just don't even use a horse in Tears of the Kingdom. There's fucking flying machines in that. Anyways. Aggro is a legendary horse in gaming.
Oh, absolutely. Even sacrifices himself or herself so you can get to the last colossus. But oh yeah, and spoiler alert for the ending, although the story is very minimalist as it is, so who really cares? It's revealed you were the bad guy all along. And by slaying the colossi, you unsealed Dorman, who turns out to be evil. But then a bunch of priests, question mark, show up and reseal Dorman while also destroying the bridge that leads into the land so nothing can ever come in or out again. And Team Ico have confirmed that this game is in fact a prequel to Ico, which I believe has been covered on the cast before.
Right. Yeah, I believe so. We can easily look that up. Hold on.
Mm. Yeah, the only indication of that is that Wander gets reborn by the end.
I don't think we've ever covered Ico.
Really?
Really?
That's a surprise.
We might have to do that soon. Rectify this.
Definitely.
Nope, yeah, it goes Ice Climbers and then Ikaruga.
Huh, go figure.
Yeah, we never did it. Well, it's just like Rocket Knight Adventures in this game. I'm like, how have we never covered these two on the podcast? Just skipped over them.
Yeah, I might have been thinking of our Moose and Spiel playthrough.
Well, yeah, we definitely played that for the YouTube channel. Yep.
Yeah.
Still up there. You can go watch the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, the gameplay is fairly standard in concept.
Well, hold on. I want to go back to the story. Because you said he's the bad guy the whole time. Well, no.
Well, he didn't realize he was the bad guy.
Is he bad guy? He's just
tricked into.
He's just trying to save his lover and mistaken and got manipulated. It's a very like classic type story where a selfish desire overcame the potential of like darkness being awakened or something, or the darkness fooled him. Take whichever direction you want, and yeah, that makes sense for how the story plays out in Ico, where, well, there's kind of a dark entity within the character.
Yeah. And he's reborn into a baby with horns.
Mm-hmm.
But he did resurrect his lover, so.
He was successful when it was all said and done. Yep.
Yeah. But Dorman did warn him he might pay a heavy price. But, yeah. Now, the gameplay is fairly simple in concept. For each Colossus, you're told by Dorman at the hub castle where it's located and what kind of environment it occupies, and it's up to you to travel to its location on your horse. And you figure out which direction to go by holding up your sword, and then the sunlight reflected off of it will point towards the location of the Colossus. You have to figure out how to get there.
Yeah, very Breath of the Wild-esque, isn't it?
Kinda, yeah.
Because Breath of the Wild, you just look in the direction and that's where you go, or you have the map. In this one, you don't really have a map, you just have the general idea of which direction to go, and then the adventure is how do you traverse the world to end up in that final location. And that in itself is a puzzle, which is very fun to do.
I think there was a map in both the original and the remake, but
I mean, how helpful is it really? You get some terrain ideas, but it's not like it's a Zelda game where the two modern Zelda games where it's like, okay, there's the map, here's a road. You can literally just follow the road and get there.
Yeah.
It's not that simple.
Yeah, for some Colossi, this is a puzzle in and of itself. And there come times you have to think outside the box on how to navigate the terrain to get there.
Right.
I mean, I remember one Colossus forcing me to go in a big giant loop that was largely in the opposite direction of where the sword was pointing. But that ended up being very satisfying when I finally found the Colossus. And then once you reach the Colossus, that's where the real fun begins. Because all of the combat gameplay is boss fights in this one. And most of it involves figuring out how to climb up its body and get to the glowing weak point on its body so you can stab the shit out of it. Usually it's on the head, at least to start, but after inflicting a certain amount of damage, it'll shift to a different part of the body, and you have to figure out how to get there while still managing to stay on its body the whole time. Because it's like a big climbing puzzle, except the climbing wall is alive and constantly trying to shake you off. And you have a grip meter on the screen that shows how much time you have to keep holding on to the side of the Colossus, or any ledge, really. And it forces you to find spots where you can let go and just stand for a bit while the meter recharges. And obviously that's easier said than done when the Colossus is trying to shake you off the whole time. And you also have a bow and arrow that you'll need from time to time, whether to get the Colossus' attention and move towards a certain area, or just make it stop moving by shooting a weak point. Theoretically, you can kill each Wow, what happened to you?
Sorry, I had to cough.
Yeah. Yeah, theoretically, you can kill each Colossus just by stabbing random parts of the body or just shooting it with arrows, because you have unlimited ammo, but it would take a very long time.
Right. Yeah, yeah, that's one thing you can do. Yeah, I liked the aspect of the game where each boss congruently has a puzzle in itself of how to manipulate the giant monster into getting into a certain position or interacting with the environment. Most of the time it's both, such as, I think it's the fourth one, where you're in a swamp and there's like these little tunnels. So every environment has this very obvious thing that has something to do with manipulating the Colossus to get it to do what you want. Like, okay, this one you gotta get it to lower its head and peek into the tunnel, and then you can wrap around to the other side, then you can leap on them, kind of deal. And it gets a little bit more complicated as you go through. I remember there's this like turtle with geysers that can flip it over, and you got to do it that way. Yeah. Very cool. It's everything feels very unique from each other. Nothing feels repeated.
Yeah. Yeah, every single boss fight is different. And the gameplay itself is smooth as butter for the most part. On foot, the movement and camera controls are very responsive, and when you're climbing Colossus, it feels super realistic when you're being shaken around and trying desperately to hold on while your body ragdolls all over the place. I found the horseback riding to be a little bit of a chore, since you have to constantly hit triangle to maintain speed, and turning could be a bit stiff at times. But the graphics and environments are absolutely gorgeous, and the HD version makes it even better. Plus this fantastic soundtrack. Basically everything about it has such an epically huge feel to it. I'm amazed the PS2 had these kinds of capabilities way back when. In fact, the whole aesthetic overall kind of gives me Lord of the Rings vibes. Would you agree?
Joey?
I don't know. Everything is brown and green.
I take it that's a big critique for you.
Yeah, I'm going to go against grain. I didn't like this game.
Wow, okay. Right. Is it just boring to you or what?
Yeah, it's boring. I mean, nothing really nice to look at. The gameplay is okay. It's just not for me.
Blasphemy.
Okay, I mean, the color scheme has a lot to be left desired for sure. That's a big, like, everything's just desert brown and sepia and gray black. If you put the whole game in grayscale, I think nothing would truly change.
Oh, well. What was everyone's favorite Colossus to fight?
Oh, let's see. I'm thinking, it certainly wasn't the tiny little armadillo guy that, like, runs into walls. He was probably my least favorite in the game. I think one of the more famous ones is, I think it's the third one, where he's, like, super tall, and he's got the sword, and he barrels it down. Yeah. That's a very memorable one. That's the one on the cover for he most titles. Cool.
Yeah, I've actually got a fan art of that fight up on my wall in my apartment. It looks super cool.
Oh, you mentioned fan art. There was a Black Friday deal on some like fan poster site, and I got.
Oh.
I've been dying for this. I got a Tomb Raider poster and a Horizon Zero Dawn poster. I've been dying to have those on my wall here. So.
You gotta send me the link.
Yeah, okay, yeah. It's on a very Chinese type site. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, we'll see if it pans out. If at worst, I'll spend a dollar. And I won't get my money back. But anyways, favorite Colossus. I have to remind myself of Colossi post 5. Let's see. List of... Here, I'll stall for time.
I'll start talking about mine. I think mine was the big flying snake, which requires you to do some horseback riding in order to shoot the big glowing air sacs that keep it in the air.
Right, it's got the lightning attacks. I remember that one.
Yeah. And then you got to jump off your horse onto its wings to climb onto its back and look for the weak spot. It's just a really exciting fight overall because you're constantly on the move. It's just so exciting when you're high in the air, going really fast, and then trying hard not to get blown off by the air or the wind and or fall off when it does a barrel roll. It's just a really, really fun time overall. See, I remember the first time I played, I had a hard time figuring out how to deal with the sand snake, where it's like the sandworms from Dune, just chasing you underneath the sand. And then it took me a while to figure out that once it raises its head enough to expose its eyes, that's when you shoot it with an arrow. Then that'll cause it to run into a rock pillar, and then that's when you can jump on and start stabbing the weak point. And I did kind of like the water boss, because I always kind of have a weakness for bosses where it's under the water, you don't know where it is, and you're in sort of a Jaws-like situation, waiting for it to pop out at any moment. Although, that one's easier to spot because it has like three electrical spikes on its back that are constantly glowing and crackling.
Let's see here. Yeah, I'm seeing all these back again. There's the fire lizard, the one that goes under the sand, and you're on your horse and you look back and its eyes are popping out. I really like that one.
Yeah,
I'm looking at bosses ranked, and the third really tall one was ranked number one.
Oh yeah.
Number two was the stone bird. Where you're flying in the with the water and it'll drop you in. Yeah. I think God, that's a tough choice. The one in the temple, I didn't really like comparatively. You know what? I think mine would probably be either the turtle one or the God, the water one was good. The temple one was unique, where it's like a physical temple that's walking.
Is that the final one?
No,
the final one stays in one spot.
The one that's sticking out to me, I'll probably change my mind if I play through the game again, is the like giant gorilla one, where there's bridges and stuff, and you're going across. It's like one. It's more like one giant environmental puzzle.
Oh yeah.
Then defeating the boss itself. It's got the like ribbed sword thing that it carries. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember that one.
Very cool game. I like all the pillars of light in the background after you defeat him.
Is that the 15th Colossus?
Yeah, I already closed out. There's a bunch of numbers.
Well, because of the I only played through the first Colossus, and then I switched to watching someone. And based on this YouTube Let's Play, the 15th is the most replayed. So I don't know if that means it's popular or hard.
Maybe it's hard.
Or fun to watch.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But Shadow of the Colossus. I love all the mechanics. A little bit screwy in places, but if anything, it gives it a little bit more of a charm because the character's like flailing around. All the time. The grip mechanic is great. A lot of this game you can see was used in the modern Zelda games.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I noticed with Breath of the Wild. The whole climb anywhere thing, but you have a stamina meter. And it's always super satisfying when you at first don't know just to get onto the Colossus, but then when you figure it out and successfully do it, it's a really good feeling. That was basically my experience playing it for the very first time, completely blind.
Yeah. Well, what's funny was I haven't played this in many, many years, and a memory came back when I was on the final boss, and just right when I was going to do the finishing blow, the power got tripped in the...
Oh.
So when I first booted up the game, I had to replay the final boss.
Oh, no.
I went, oh, okay. So I got to see the ending this time. So that was funny. So I guess technically I beat five Colossus. Yeah, that final boss battle is like an hour long. It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of lightning strikes and dipping and dodging and going up. It's just a journey up the Colossus, really.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a cool game. Really love it. Yeah. I would say it's definitely a classic at this point in time. It's certainly old enough.
Since Hell yeah. It.
But Joey hates Easy it. Pass. He thinks it's boring. It's terrible. It's no good. Too much darkness for him.
Yeah, I fail
Shun
it.
Shun the heathen.
He fails it. Oh, man. I pass.
Shun the heathen.
He does not like a very cult classic now it's popular game. Okay. So our two games were Rocket Knight Adventures and Shadow of the Colossus. Joey, you go first, sir.
Well, surprising everyone, Rocket Knight is my favorite. I'm going to give it a high A, and Shadow, I'm still going to give it a B, even though I didn't like it.
Okay. All right.
Okay, then.
I am the opposite of Joey, more or less. I like Shadow more, even though I love Rocket Knight Adventures. I think Rocket Knight is missing mechanics to it that puts it over the edge. So I'm at like a high B, low A situation. I'll go with a B. And Colossus, I'm going S. I'm just straight up Hell giving yeah. it the highest mark that I could. And
cool.
There you go, Colin.
Well, my opinion is pretty much the same as yours. Shadow of the Colossus is my favorite. And I'm actually going to give Rocket Knight Adventures an A.
Ooh, I'm the low guy on a game I love. Okay.
And Shadow, same as you, I'm giving it an S.
Okay.
In fact, I think it should have a spot in my top 10 favorite games of all time. Just not sure which one.
We're at a conundrum, so that comes up to like a high A for Shadow of the Colossus. Are we just gonna ignore Joey and his poo-poo-ness of the game and just give it an S?
Well, between your S and his B, it averages to an A, and then my rating tips it into S territory. Right. I'd say
we're gonna round up.
Hell yeah.
A++, that's an S. Okay. Joey, your theme pick is next. What is it?
Toys.
It's very Christmas oriented, isn't it?
Sure, I'll go with that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
St. Nicholas Day is just a few days later. I like it. So for the last episode of the year, we're doing a theme called A Look Back. We're going to pick four games from 2017. That was the very first year of the podcast. We're going to have each host pick a game that we covered in 2017. And this is before Colin and Joey joined the podcast. So they haven't played these. We haven't heard their opinions on it. And then we're going to have a cast consensus pick from a game from 2017. So we're doing something special to end the year. That's something to look forward to. So toys and then a look back. Hope you guys enjoyed the episode. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye now.